This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I am your host, Jeffrey Wright. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But we're now streaming live on YouTube, on Twitch, on X, the Everything app. You can go see our smiling, happy faces right there live and on what appears to be a slight upgrade of a Ring camera. I think Ring cameras were HD. I think that's where I settle on that. You, of course, can listen audio only on the Odyssey app, as well as the TuneIn Radio app and the iHeartRadio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey. How's it going?
It's going great, my man. Congratulations on your Rebels.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I know we talked plenty about it. My confidence level was probably as expected of a normal, non-delusional Ole Miss fan, but, you know.
I mean, we talked about it on the show. I did not sit here. I can't lie to everyone in a straight face and say I took Ole Miss's money line. I took the points because it was just everyone believed that they were going to dog walk Ole Miss, and I even started off telling you, like, after the Tulane game, I was like, I don't care what the number is. I'm laying it. And as the week went on and the market kind of was like, everybody's on Georgia, I thought it would be a...
What number did you get?
I ended up getting 6.5.
That's not bad.
So, I mean, there really is... Once it crossed 7, there was...
Right.
I also started to feel a little bit better about it when they wouldn't go back up to 7. Now, it can also work both ways. I had Texas Tech plus 2.5. They end up flipping and going off as a favorite at kickoff, and that could not have been more wrong. That one was... That one was gross.
Woo!
More on that in just a moment. My company is, he is each and every Monday. He's the maestro of fun and games here in Memphis. He's the host of Writer Than Right Trivia. One more time, Thursday on the Jeff Calkins Show. His website, CerritoEntertainment.com. Follow him on the Everything app, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Happy New Year. Happy retirement to Jeff Calkins.
How much longer do we have, according to Larry David? Is tomorrow the 7th, or is it...
I mean, I think we got a few days. I say it till the Super Bowl. Happy New Year till the Super Bowl is my rule.
Even as we continue to push the Super Bowl further and further back,
you know, that's the NFL. You know, that's their fault. Don't blame me. Yeah.
Yeah. I like to say Happy New Year up until George. When is the NFL New Year? Is that April
1? Yes.
I think it's post draft. That's my calendar. My calendar. Thanks be to the commissioner. My calendar. Sync up my calendar with his calendar. Of course, yes. I always defend the shield. I'm always thinking about the shield.
It's the first show back in the new year, and the last Monday show at this time slot. Right, we'll be on it this time next Monday.
Correct.
But there's some shockwaves being sent out here on the airwaves.
So we will discuss that in just a moment. Also want to talk some college football playoff. If we get into some Grizzlies and Tigers, we will do that, as of course we overreact to everything that we saw over a long weekend. We got our TV timeout. So we didn't do it with you, Kevin, but I believe last week with Tim, we started trying to predict what the NFL television schedule would be for Super Wildcard Weekend presented by Verizon Wireless. Thanks be to the commissioner. He is so good. I got 4 out of 6.
That's pretty good.
I got 4 out of 6. I flipped the Saturday and Sunday nights. I thought Bears-Packers would be Sunday night football. Instead, we've got Patriots-Chargers on Sunday night football. Bears-Packers will be, I believe, our Amazon Prime, thanks be to the commissioner, Super Wild Card Weekend presented by Verizon Wireless. I believe that will be our Amazon Prime Saturday night game. So yeah. We'll get into that.
Sunday night last night, my goodness, go Tigers, go. The Memphis Tigers all over that football game for the Steelers last night.
All over the field, making significant plays. That game just, it went from being like a standard Ravens-Steelers, this game is close, but it's kind of boring, to, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? That was quite the interesting way to cap off the NFL regular season. So we'll get into that. Also, we got some numbers from the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Wow.
Wow.
I mean, simply, wow. It turns out maybe the Pop-Tarts Bowl did not need Notre Dame.
I don't think they do.
Their numbers were quite strong. Also,
and think they've got the only bowl game with a storyline carrying over to next year. Where is the strawberry Pop-Tart? What is happening here with the strawberry Pop-Tart?
Can I have one quick complaint before we get to there?
Sure.
I didn't like the strawberry Pop-Tart or the strawberry protein Pop-Tart with the blue headband. He should have had a red headband because I was convinced that was blueberry protein.
Right.
Instead, they kept saying strawberry, but I was like, he's wearing a blue headband.
Well, you've got to
keep it dumb for me.
But you got to look at the specs. Like, you got to look at the...
And you got to listen to the announcers. They, you know, they've got...
And what are they?
Yeah. I'm not confident that they knew what was going on.
I mean, it was confusing.
I'm not blaming them. I'm saying, like, that would be something to behold.
Yeah, my house was more... We rewatched some highlights from the Pop-Tarts Bowl because we had Pop-Tarts for breakfast. So it was, we've got to go check out the Pop-Tarts.
I will say this. It was successful marketing. I went and bought Pop-Tarts for the first time in years thanks to the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
It works.
It certainly did. Also, Marshawn Lynch put on an absolute beatdown on the Manning cast Saturday night.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you all about that. It was tremendous. We'll get into the list during hour number two. Kevin views me as the Buc-ee's authority. We've gotten some news
locally.
Very
sad Buc-ee news. But not too sad.
I was only surprised by one of the tidbits of news.
Oh, we'll talk
about
that.
So we'll discuss that. It's Black Monday on NFL for those of us that are still on our NFL calendars. We'll get into the open jobs. I think depressingly, maybe we should rank the jobs because I think my team's job might be dead last also.
We got a lot to talk about. We need an extra hour today.
Jordan, we will get one. I'll get you one next week.
All right. Sounds good.
You're going to have to move it up, but I'll get you an extra hour. Also, Jordan and Belichick.
Is there an update going on?
They're just letting the league know that they're available.
Oh, well.
We'll get into some of those reports.
I tell you, Bobby P is going to be the coach of North Carolina by the end of the season.
Well, I mean, it would be hilarious if Belichick winds up getting the Falcons job, takes Petrino with him.
You think he would? I think that's a possibility.
Really? I really don't, but that's the narrative that they're spinning right now.
Okay.
They're cooking right now. So we'll get into that.
Oh, Lord.
CJ Hurt's going to join us like he does each and every Monday on the program. We'll get his thoughts on the Grizzlies and everything else happening in the world of sports. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But probably now, I guess, the worst-kept news, which I do think is an actual testament to the amount of respect that everybody has for Jeff Calkins. This has been in the works for George. I don't know. How long has it been official? Maybe 3 weeks?
Yeah.
When was the Christmas party?
In the works for long.
I don't know. It was a Wednesday. George had to not host bingo that night. I can't remember.
It was the 10th.
I think it became official
the 12th. So December 12th, it became official.
Yeah,
that
sounds right.
Spirit of full disclosure, Jeff has kicked around this idea no fewer than 15 times, and I normally just go, all right, well, he'll be back. and then this time it wasn't.
I like this. We're already given like the behind the scenes of the announcement here today. Like this is the I like it. I like pulling back the curtain.
Well, that's what the people want to know.
I mean, because honestly, the biggest local sports story, this is the truth, though. The biggest local sports story today in Memphis is the retirement of Jeff Calkins
from radio.
But yes,
and I don't
that's
think
the biggest point.
He's refusing to use the R word.
He's not. No, I was going to just about to say that he has said specifically it's not the R word.
But it is. I mean, it's in the Daily Memphian, the publication that he helped co-found.
I think he doesn't like saying retired, period.
Oh,
because
that,
he's keeping obviously the Daily Memphian gig.
Right.
So yeah, that's why you have to put it in the thing at the end. Yeah.
But he is.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I'd like to think of it as a coach that had the GM title, and unlike coaches that he's a coach that's giving up play calling, but he hasn't been forced to give up play calling. He's given up play calling. It's like when Steve Spurrier used to want Steve Spurrier Jr. to get a job and he'd let Jr. call the plays. Like Jeff's letting us have more time on the air, but I keep thinking like if push comes to shove, he's gonna have to take play calling back. I'm still waiting for a phone call in 3 months, like I'm back.
Oh, you didn't? No.
I'm waiting for it.
No. Is this the most significant changing of the guard in media since Dave Brown stepped away? You think it is in local media? Dave Brown.
Timeline it for me. When does Dave officially hang up the tie?
I mean, when Dave, he walked away. So Joe Burch has already reduced his schedule. Right.
But Joe's still
there. He's still
on a reduced schedule.
He's still there.
But he's still there.
He's still there. But when Dave left, like Ron Childress was right there, right? Like just right here. Like everybody, we're getting ready to, you know, bear the load that's being left here by Jeff Calkins. But
when did George give up sports time?
I miss Dave.
Sports
I thought I would miss Dave
show.
More, but Ron Childress does it was a smooth, great transition of a legend.
Well, they did a great job of the coach in waiting.
Yes.
That was actually a successful coach in waiting because Ron and Dave worked so much together.
For decades.
Correct. That it didn't ever feel like, oh,
well,
Dave.
That's what we've got happening right now, right? Where John, you know, his former sidekick is going to be in his spot. You, his other, if I dare I call you a sidekick, but like you're getting that extra hour, right? Like you guys were the Ron Childress to the Dave Brown here.
Yeah, it's where I've actually struggled with the news because.
So tell me if it's going to rain or not. This weather's great today, by the way. Shout out to Ron Childress.
Like it a little rain. Warmer?
Hey, you know what? It's
when the wind,
January 5th.
I'm just saying, if you're walking the dog and the wind, you get that wind. It's still,
I think it's, I was,
it's still crisp.
I did need a coat or a jacket, so I was happy with that.
Still crisp. Where it's bittersweet for me is I really like working with Jeff and I like doing the show with Jeff. But on a personal level, not having to do two shows is a win.
Right. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting for sure. Because I feel like your brain is probably split in this.
Yes. I definitely have a different mindset hosting versus being his producer.
And like, who are you? What are you?
Correct.
What has been said?
I'm
where,
Zoolander,
you know,
looking in.
Is
the,
this something I,
who am I
said earlier? Did I say this? Did I not say this? Who cares? I'm going to say it. And I think you're going to be more focused. On the task at hand because you're going to have a clear path.
Theoretically, this show should be better.
Can it get any better than this? It can get larger.
It can always get worse.
So Jeff is retiring from radio. He is. I mean, that's what he says. But is he not using that because he wants to come back? Like,
no, I think he just doesn't
people
like.
Retire.
I don't think he likes saying the word.
There's power in words.
I think also when you hear retire, you think like, oh no, no longer working. And for Jeff, that's not the case. He's still writing.
Sure, yeah. But he's here throughout the rest of the week, which, as you mentioned, means it's the last writer then write trivia,
indeed,
which will take place on the Jeff Calkins show. The future of that particular exciting game show is we'll have an announcement about it soon. We'll figure out exactly what happens here with writer then write. But we know that show ends. So what's the new lineup we've got starting next week?
Starting next Monday. So we'll still have Unsportsmanlike, I believe, from 6 until 9.
Correct.
I think that's Unsportsmanlike is a 3-hour show. Then from 9 until 12, we will have J&J. So we're changing Jason and John to J&J.
Dropping some letters.
Correct. J&J to start your day, I believe, is how that rolls right off the tongue.
Oh, I do like that.
Yeah. We will still be Jeffrey Wright and Company. So instead of 2 to 4, It'll be from 12 until 3. And I feel confident at this moment in time saying our days are going to be the same. So Mondays will be with Kevin. Tuesdays will be with Tim. Wednesdays will be with Coach Hurd. Thursdays will be with Cobb. Fridays will be with DeMichael. DeMichael might run into some issues because now that we've moved it up, that kind of gets into practice availability, but we're obviously going to work with DeMichael because we love DeMichael and we're going to make sure that he's still a part of the program. But we could run into some issues there. However, once you get into the season, I ain't practicing a lot.
Right.
So it's like the post-practice availability that could be some issues, but we'll work with DeMichael. So I think I feel confident right now in saying our company is going to be the same. So I'm pretty excited about that. Biggest difference is we're tacking on another hour and you'll hear us from noon until 3 instead of 2 until 4.
Which we never, as your intro said, we never, like we do, I've been doing the show with you now for about 18 months. And when we do it, like you run through all these topics at the beginning and like, these are all things we want to talk about,
right,
but we do not have time. We end up not having it.
Like, we will still figure out a way to not get to what we say we're going to talk about, even though you're giving us an extra hour. And then the Gabe Kunz show, I think that's the other big change. Gabe will be from 3 to 6, and I believe now all live. I think that's at least the plan.
I would assume that's the case.
I believe that's the plan. I mean, there's obviously going to be, spirit of full disclosure, there will be some interviews that you have to record, but I think the idea is...
Like, that's...
Yeah, that you'd be surprised.
Half the time, that's not on us.
If you'd be watching a national show, you'd be surprised how often the interview seems live, but it's not.
Correct.
So... I think the idea is from 3 to 6, we'll have live radio more so than the recorded last hour. But also, Gabe was running up into Grizzlies games half the time anyway. So, overall, that is the lineup. Any other further questions you want to ask Kevin? Because you were actually one of the people that was included in the circle of trust that actually knew what was happening.
Right, yeah. No, I think it's definitely, obviously, the right move. It's very logical. Your day, as a listener, is not. It's going to go in the same order, right? It's going to go in the same order. And you're going to actually, some people are going to get their dream, Jeffrey, of getting a little bit less Jeffrey right.
Yes.
This show is going to be an hour longer, but you're going to be on for an hour.
Correct.
For an hour less a day. And I think it's going to feel the same. You're going to miss, you know, Jeff, obviously, when he's gone. But it won't be so noticeable all of the time because your day routine is going to be pretty much the same order.
All right. Biggest since Dave, because all right, I'm trying to think of so when does George finally hang up sports time over at 56?
You know, that's what.
Were you still there?
I don't think so, because I was trying to figure this out, and I don't know why I didn't remember.
You and Ben interviewed there, interned there, correct?
I was I was an intern at 7:30 a.m.
Okay.
The station nobody could pick up. Back in the day.
And Ben was an intern there as well?
I think so, yeah. I think he was the producer of the Jeff
and Gary
show.
But does Ben go from 56 to 7:30 or 7:30 to 56? Because I mean, I remember Ben...
7:30 to 56 to 92.9.
Okay. But I remember when Ben was reading, like, SportsCenter updates or whatever, when Ben would read the news over at 56.
Right. And so, yeah, no, he was over there, and he was doing Lapidus' show. So I can't remember how the Lapidus thing, you know, Lapidus was on, I guess, you know, I don't know if
so
this factors into Calkins' decision.
He scaled it back to like an hour maybe?
Like some people and some things don't know when it's time to hang it up, right? You want to go out where you're still
Oh, no,
still
Jeff even mentioned George is probably looking down on Jeff today, disappointed because...
That he did not go all the way to the end.
Absolutely. Like you should dive in front of this microphone with some honor.
You got to risk possibly dying all in front of the microphone. And Calkins... There's debates, and I saw something recently about the debate about when Seinfeld went off. Like, should you go off, you know, at a high note at your peak, and probably not. But you probably also shouldn't go because
I Met Your Mother. You should not do it like that.
Well, maybe, but I think you could make more money, and you're still good.
The
Seinfeld
is,
was still good. Like, it could have gone on and been good enough for a little bit longer, and he could have made a lot more money. But like Lapidus just went until he was. You know, he was. Lapidus came into the radio at Sports 56 with oxygen machine. Like,
yes.
He had an oxygen tank, but it was his passion. It's what he loved to do. And I do probably think it's very important for you know, to have routine and have a goal and like to know what, you know, a purpose in life, right? And his purpose was to come on the radio.
Well, the reason why I asked that is because I
talk about O'Call.
Jeff would say this is when George gave up TV. When he leaves WREG, he still did radio. I think that's kind of what.
I mean, we had Jarvis. Jarvis has passed the baton to Doc Holliday over at Channel 5. That's happened since Dave. So is it just as big as that? The fact that Calkins is still going to be doing his original main thing that he became famous for.
What he moved to the city for. So we
that
have Chris
make it not as impactful.
We have Vernon leaving.
He is one of the founding fathers of this station. So that you know, can't be overlooked.
So I'm trying to think of the other ones. So Vernon leaving in 2016. That opens the door for Jason and John, which also opened the door for me. Eric left in 2019, I think. Maybe 2018.
Right.
Which opened the door for Giannotto and Jeffrey. We then have Gary leaving. Gary left post-pandemic, right?
Yes.
I think the thing that makes it different is, other than Eric, Eric wanted to coach baseball. Like, he wanted to not have the middle part of his day, and his substantial paycheck came from his other gig.
Right.
Jeff is not leaving to go somewhere else.
Correct. He didn't get plucked away from from WCW to the WWF during the Monday Night Wars or something. He is retiring, right?
No, he's hanging up his mic.
He's hanging up his mic.
Or turning his mic off.
Where does he hang it?
They're kind of, yeah, you know, on the
Raptors
on an arm
Platinum
anyway.
Plus. Yeah. Is that the Piccadilly now?
What? No, the Piccadilly was over there already, I believe. Locations, the Piccadilly moved in for a bigger space. They needed bigger space. They needed a bigger floor.
Is it one of the used car dealerships now?
We can have George go, you know, on the break, go down Mount Moriah here, check it
just
out.
Just get it. Well, I think we'd probably do it on Google Maps.
Yeah, that's
George,
easy.
See what the silver-looking building on Mount Moriah.
I'm sure it's a car lot. It's a car lot, I would bet. But I never drive by it.
What direction would that be? So would that be east of 240?
That's it's over there. But we're getting on track. Why are we want to know what's in Platinum?
Maybe it's south. Maybe it's south.
This is exactly how Jeff envisioned his retirement. And this is true, right? It's a callback to his days being on with Gary, talking about Platinum Plus here.
Harvard Horn Lake.
Right. The original trivia
Compass
game
Bears,
on this station. But I don't know. Jeff is retiring, and he gets his farewell week, which I love that we get to say goodbye, because so much happens in radio and broadcast that you find out. Like, even Mike Sadie, you know, like, retired from Channel 3 recently. And we found out that same day, like maybe after it happened, that they retired. And it's like, wait, maybe I would want to watch him a little bit longer or soak it in for a second and say goodbye, right? So, it's hard. Like, I just got through the Stranger Things last season, and now here I am with the last week of Jeff Calkins. And,
did it deliver?
And I hope everybody survives the week here. Stranger Things finale was good. It was good. They did what they, you know, they didn't. It was fan service there, so.
Okay. I don't view fan service as a pejorative.
No, otherwise you have very.
It actually annoys me when people view it as a pejorative. It's like, if fan service is done correctly, do I think it should just be a trope because you aren't a good writer? No. But there's fan service. Like, you can do good fan service.
The finale didn't make me angry. I was not bored. And probably some of it I would have done a little bit differently, but it gave me my 80s nostalgia that I wanted, and that's part of the appeal for the show. So anyway, this one, so I don't know. I'm excited about this last week of Jeff Calkins. Sad to see him go, but excited about the future here at the station. I love all of the shows, and happy to be here, coming a little bit earlier next week, starting next Monday. Oh, yeah, I get to help kick it off. The new schedule.
You will be a part of the first ever 3-hour version of Jeffrey Wright and Company.
Noon to three.
I guarantee you will be the company of the first ever Jeffrey Wright and Company, God willing.
Yes, that's the plan.
Yes.
That's the plan.
So you can't get sick. Someone else can't get sick. I mean, I'll probably play sick, but, you know, that's the way it's going to go. All right, y'all ready for overreactions?
Let's do it.
All right, let's talk some college football playoff.
Yes. It's blended together for me. When were the games? Because I watched them. I can't remember when they are.
The Ohio State
feels like forever
Miami
ago.
Game was your Stranger Things finale night.
That was New Year's Eve.
That was New Year's Eve, Wednesday night. Then on New Year's Day,
we had all three of the other ones on New Year's Day.
We had the two games that were honestly like going to get a root canal to watch with Texas Tech and Oregon, and then Alabama just getting absolutely curb stomped by Indiana. And then
you're looking at the halftime score of an Oregon game, and it was like 6-0, 9-0. It was really low score. I was like, what is happening here?
So my first overreaction is Baron Morton played the worst game we've ever seen in the playoff era of a quarterback. So the other candidates were Kelly Bryant when he was at Clemson.
Okay.
They scored 6 points. Clemson did cross midfield, and Morton's EPA per dropback was worse. He threw end zone interceptions. He fumbled. That was actually a game. Texas Tech's defense, like, I think that was what was annoying to watch about that game was I think there was going to be a narrative of if I would have told you Texas Tech got beat 23-0, there'd be the narrative they didn't belong. The thing that was interesting about it was when you were watching, you're like, nah, man, Texas Tech's defense is really good. Like, Oregon was trying to bully them. They kept going for it on fourth down and not getting anywhere. Texas Tech's defense was just truly keeping their entire team into it. Baron Morton was that god-awful. And it was even worse if you watched from one of the 58 simulcasts that ESPN has provided. If you watched the Skycast, it was like watching. It was like watching when if you have a younger brother like I do, a significantly younger brother, the first time you convince him to play video games with you, and you have like he has no idea what he's doing, and you're just trying to bully him. Like that's what it looked like watching Baron Morton trying to play. Like, he had no idea where to go with the football. He was late on every throw. He was panicked. Everything was a disaster. He was awful. I do think, however, the Sugar Bowl made up for it. Forget the result, because I said this before I knew Ole Miss was going to win. That's one of the best college football games I've ever watched. It had everything you wanted. It had stakes. It actually had an environment in the Sugar Bowl with it being two SEC teams. That's an environment that kind of matters to those programs. There was a noticeable electricity when they went from Pasadena, and granted everyone that was in Pasadena, like that was just a bloodbath. But when they kicked it right to New Orleans, like you could feel the energy in the building, and you had massive swings. You had Ole Miss kind of early, like announcing like, oh man, maybe they're up for this. Like their defense actually got stops. Like Georgia had to punt. And then you have the play where Ole Miss fumbles, Georgia runs it back, and you're kind of thinking, that's all she wrote. Georgia gets a 2-score lead, and you're kind of thinking, all right, I think the stat was they were 78-0 when leading in half by two scores or more, and you kind of thought that's how it was going to go. But then quickly in the second half, Ole Miss's defense showed it wasn't a fluke. Like they were starting to make a lot more plays, and then lo and behold, they start to score, and then they get the big turnover, and all of a sudden you're looking up, and Ole Miss is up 10 points, and you're like, are they going to do this? Well, then Georgia goes right back down the field. They score. Ole Miss gets the ball back. They have a call go against them with the no face mask, and then they have to punt it back to Georgia, and you're thinking, I hope Ole Miss can save enough time to try and score, because it felt inevitable that Georgia was going to score. But where I really give Ole Miss credit, second and goal from the 2. Because I think on first and goal, they were around the 6. They ran it down to the 2.
Yep.
Second and goal from the 2. They forced a negative play, drop them back to third and goal from about the 5 or the 6. And I still don't know why Georgia didn't try to run the ball, but they threw it to try to go for the touchdown. Ole Miss defends it well. Hold them to a field goal. 34-34, and then why Georgia went full man-to-man on third and five when you know there's like 25 seconds left. Like, you cannot give up that play. But they did, and then Kinyero, who had been money, setting a Sugar Bowl record for a 55-yard field goal and then hitting a 56-yard field goal that broke his own record and then hits the field goal from 47. Lo and behold, then we have the weird I think everybody learned that if a onside kick is on the ground and no team touches it, and if the kicking team recovers it, no time goes off. So, like, Ole Miss would have been better touching the football, like knocking it out of bounds. That would have ended it. But because it was on the ground, and every Ole Miss player was just like, stay away, stay away, stay away, because they thought as soon as Georgia touched it, the clock would run. Well, we learned, no, that's not the case. Then Georgia got one more play, pitchy, pitchy, woo-woo, and then it winds up. But it was just an unbelievable football game. And it's one of the best in the non-championship game divisions. And to me, like, this is kind of where you see it working. Like, I still think there's probably a couple of tweaks that need to be done. But when they get the team seated right, like, these games have been great.
Right. I mean, that was I think it's possibly there's no arguments. The best game of the 12th team era. That means this year or last year, was there a better game than that one? And it could be our SEC bias. It could be our local bias. This is a game that could have been taken. Like, if you think about the Tulane game.
Let's think about the other ones. So Notre Dame, Penn State was close, but I didn't feel like it had it was kind of more like Drew Aller throwing a horrific pick. Like, this game felt like both quarterbacks were absolutely like nails. Like, Gunnar Stockton making tough plays, extending it. Chambliss was blacking out. Like, both guys were rising to the occasion. The Notre Dame game felt more like it was colored by kind of inept quarterback play, and then the better team won.
Right. And this was a game that had the potential to be like, because they've played each other already, right? Does that take away some of the sizzle for the game? To me, maybe it's how I'm wired when I think about it, right? Like, the Tulane game for Ole Miss was a great game. They won by a lot. Would it have been even more exciting if they were playing somebody they hadn't played already and beat already during the year? Maybe. I don't know how much more you can turn it up or if it mattered. They were playing a playoff game. But, like, these two teams have played before, so you're like, does that matter? But I think it mattered.
I think it mattered in the buildup. I think the reason why, even though this game had the smaller point spread than Ohio State and Miami, the general consensus was if a team's going to get blown out, it was going to be Ole Miss, because most people believed Georgia was getting better. Ole Miss was not necessarily getting worse, but, like, at a certain point, you're like, come on, you've lost your coach. Half your coaching staff is down in LSU. Like, that has to have some type of impact at this point. And no, it was honestly like the other team that had the 9-point lead this time was Georgia, and they were the ones that gave it up.
Right. But it is something that if you look at Ole Miss, like, they're around the holiday season, like, going back through their life of the season, right? They've got a lot of, they've only played teams they've played already in this playoff.
Yeah.
And that's changing, obviously. They will not play it. If they make it all the way, they're going to have to beat teams they have not matched up with. But
they're now 13-1 in their one loss they avenged.
Right. And here they are. So now Ole Miss is going up against Miami, right? That's the Fiesta Bowl. What's the sponsor of this Fiesta Bowl now?
The Verbo Fiesta Bowl. That will be Thursday. Heads up.
Yeah, I think that's – I do think this is – I didn't even realize this until we had to make a tweak in our trivia schedule this week. But Ole Miss is playing Thursday night.
Thursday night.
We're still all getting accustomed to 12 teams, and it's also, when do these games happen? For some reason, one game is on Thursday, the other game is on Friday.
And we did that last year. The difference was, because New Year's Day happened a day earlier.
This is going to change days every year. Yeah.
Right. So the reason why this is condensed is they want to have the quarterfinal day be New Year's Day. Like, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. Like, that's when they went.
I mean, we need to have those games, those days mean something.
Correct. And so.
They're great. I mean, that was what New Year's Day is supposed to be. I love college football on New Year's Day. Yeah.
I think the real question is, should we figure out a way to make it end on New Year's Day?
That would be awesome. I don't know. Could that also help your coaches leaving for the portal?
I think that would certainly help.
because it's admissions and yada, yada, yada. I think it, there's got to be a way, right? You could play in the July heat. We could have some games in July. No, I don't.
Oh, I think eventually week zero is going to be week one because college football is going
to need one more week, right?
Listen, college football is going to, the NFL is going to come for Labor Day. They're already starting to figure out.
They want every holiday.
They've already started to figure out these workarounds.
Thanos with the rings, like
and right now, what it seems
to be, NFL wants every single holiday.
Their workaround of the how do we get these games that we're congressionally not allowed to do?
The stones, I said rings, but stones for Thanos. Go ahead.
It is put these games on the streamers because the broadcast is protected. So network is protected.
Oh, they're gonna NFL's gonna start.
So
going.
If you recall. Christmas Day was on Netflix, and then we had the Christmas night game, which was on Prime, but I think that's because it was a Thursday night. If you've looked at the Black Friday...
The loophole in the law is that the NFL can...
Now, it's going to get challenged, but that's... The NFL lawyers think that that's going to be their... That's their loophole.
I mean, there's definitely a loophole right now. So it's Indiana-Oregon in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl.
Correct.
That game featuring the only... team ever in the history of the 12-team college football playoffs to get a bye in advance to the semifinals that we're in here. So Indiana.
So it is important to note this. Indiana is the only team to get a bye that won.
In the history of the 12-team playoffs.
They're 1-7. The favorites are 5-3. And one of the 5-3 favorites, or one of the three losses, is actually Texas Tech, who spent much of the week the underdog, and it flipped on game day.
Oh, wow.
And the other two are Georgia and Ohio State. So that was kind of my other reaction is, I know everyone's doing the curse of the bye.
The curse of the bye. Yeah, but do you believe in the curse of the bye? I believe the bye.
Georgia had a 2-score lead at the half. I mean, if you want to talk me into the Ohio State of it all, but the bigger problem that Ohio State had was they could not block Miami.
Right.
And Saban has been a guy that the few times we've seen him come under pressure, he hasn't handled it well. But I don't necessarily think that that was...
Have we seen a coach speak about the bye being an issue? Any of these coaches that have lost these games use that as an excuse?
We've not heard that yet, but they do the, we need to move this up. We need to move this up.
So it's kind of.
They want it condensed. But the problem.
That's a long break.
But this is where they've talked themselves into a corner because the whole reason we spread this thing out is because they're the ones going, we can't play conference championship game and then have the playoffs start the next week. To which I was always like, why not?
Why not? Because you play every week anyway. Why can't you play every week?
Pittsburgh and Baltimore ended last night at what time? I don't know, 11? Probably midnight, close to midnight Eastern. Yeah. The Pittsburgh Steelers will be playing next Monday night.
They will be, yeah.
And last year, we had on Sunday Night Football to close out the year, Detroit and Minnesota. Winner got the 1 seed, loser, hop on a plane, boys. You're headed to L.A., and you're going to go play the Rams. This idea that, like,
they can tighten the schedule up for sure, but also, like, I would think, and we've seen it play out, but, like, there is an advantage for a team like Oregon to play JMU.
Oh, I definitely think,
and stay fresh.
I definitely think there's.
Would you rather be the number one seed overall and play the team from the G6?
Yep.
And get your practice game in, you know, and then go on and play versus sitting out and not doing anything.
No, I think it's an interesting question because to you, when you keep telling me to not fall in love with the 12-team playoff.
I think this could be used as in a... Because
if you went to 16, so the
other
problem
is... Would you rather have a month off or would you rather play a team you know you could beat?
I think the bigger issue is these conferences protecting the championship games and the championship games have become a farce.
I think that's true with the schedule. Like, it's very easy to fix. Like, we're talking about how do you find more time? You said week zero in the conference championship week, right? You could easily flip those. And also, what is happening when Army plays Navy? Like, what's that Saturday? What's going on?
Well, we just used, like, that becomes, that is, that Saturday, well, where it becomes an issue is if Army or Navy make
the We give it out the Heisman
American.
Trophy that day,
yeah,
right?
It's Heisman Day.
We could change all of that.
But like,
those are 3 weeks right there, yes, you have to work with. I think them getting off the conference championship is tough because of the money. But also, like, you get more money for those teams that make the playoffs who have these home games, right? Like, I don't see, like, why you want the money in a championship game at Atlanta. Would it not mean more to have a home game
Not to the SEC.
Not to the conference. But well, for the individual team, if you're good enough, you're going to have
home game. It's more of the SEC office because they view it as – it's like how they view the Super Bowl where they close a lot of business deals then. They view it as like
right, because you're
a convention almost.
But, I mean
– but if you're the number one seed and we're going to go to a 16-team playoff, I think I would rather just say,
spot.
Give me the 16 seed. We'll play them first. That's your warm-up.
Because that's what you would always get. That, and that would be just as, from how it's playing out, just as beneficial and something to play for than the bye. But, and then we would get into a scenario like we have for March Madness where like a 16 is never going to be a number one. You know, that's going to for sure be that power, that team from the G6.
But if you're right after
at number 2, you're playing a decent team.
Yeah, the problem is that there's going to be a big difference between the 16 seed and the 15 seed.
Well, that's why you need the G6 to be a two bid.
Right.
What's likely going
to happen is that 16 seed is going to be the G6 team, and then the 15 seed is going to be one of those super talented teams that like stubbed their toe.
Would it be like Vanderbilt?
Would it be like
Texas? Texas, the preseason number one team, right? Like you'd be playing the preseason number one team. So there's definitely the negatives in that.
But I would also argue just seed the thing properly. I don't care that Texas would have 3 losses. Whoever's the representative from the ACC that has probably 5 losses, just go ahead and put that team at 15.
For sure. Yeah, I think – was Notre Dame, Texas, and you don't think Vandy even gets into the 16? I think we talked about this before. But
I think the 16 would have been Notre Dame getting in and probably
– what this made me think about
Notre Dame and Texas
is probably also like Ohio State, which for the entire year I come in here on Mondays and you're just starstruck. You're in love with the idea that Ohio State's going to be the eventual national champion. And it's coming off a year that they won it.
Yep.
And they did, beat the devil out of the bad teams and they did not lose throughout the regular season. They looked great. And in the BCS era, that's all you needed to become practically the national champion or at least be positioned for that. Gotta keep it clean here, even on Jeff Calkins retirement week. They messed up. They slipped up. They did not look like national championships. Obviously, they played their way out. Maybe they can blame the bye.
Well, the funny thing is, in back-to-back years, we actually got kind of an answer to the would Ohio State rather beat Michigan and not win the national title
or the vice
versus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lose to Michigan and then win the national title. I think we kind of got the answer. It seems to me Ohio State would rather have lost to Michigan and win the national title.
I think that's right. But
another part of the issue.
Indiana would still be in position. Like, Indiana would be your BCS champion on a smaller field, right? If we let a smaller field, Indiana would still be in this. But
if we had
Miami and Oregon would not have a shot.
If we had
a
4-team playoff, they would not be in it.
Yeah, and none of those 3 teams.
Correct. Like Indiana would be in. That's it.
Indiana, Ohio State, and we'd be having like a rematch.
It's like
conference championship rematch.
Would it have been?
And Georgia would have been involved.
Well, like would the
which Ole Miss just proved that they were the better team without even having their regular coach that they had all year. So,
no, I mean like that's the other question is would the Big Ten title game have meant more if it was?
You think it would have bumped Ohio State?
Because technically, Ohio State didn't get bumped for losing. They were still the 2 seed.
No, they didn't get punished at all for losing. They got
bumped from 1 to 2. So would that game have maybe had higher stakes?
Really, I feel like it should have focused more on like who – and they beat some teams, but it's like, who did you beat? Like, who'd you beat? Yeah, you lost to a great team, but who'd you beat?
Their best win is Texas at home, week 1.
Right, and that's a team that was not in the playoffs, not even in consideration, really, for the playoffs.
Who also beat Michigan.
Indiana, is that who you've got right now as we're going through this? I know you're not going to put
Indiana,
in your official picks.
Indiana
but like,
looks like the most complete football team. Like,
and they've been unstoppable like all year. They have, yeah. They beat Alabama 38-30. You can't overlook that. Like I love seeing the memes like of the, you know, the country group Alabama, and it's like been reimagined. People have Indiana in the background. Like it's like Indiana. It's Indiana beat Alabama in football 38-3.
I mean, it's kind of a big day for all of Mellencamp people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's pretty big. But I mean,
Indiana, I can't, don't know how at this point you can't. And no matter what the field would have looked like, Indiana should be the, but they may not win, right? They've got Oregon.
I mean, they have a rematch.
Yeah.
Now they went to Altson and they beat them in the same fashion. But I mean, they look to be the most complete team.
And we didn't even get into the Ole Miss stuff, but like the fascinating about, I mean, Ole Miss, I mean, and this is of the local interest and all of that. Like I could not be more thrilled, and I know some people are and are torn over or what to think about this team in Oxford. I know George is excited. And Miami is one of those teams. Miami is awesome. I believed in them all year, and they're proving themselves here. Like, this is one of those teams that look like they peaked early,
yep,
but now they're also could be peaking late again. Like, what's the best Miami? Is this
still
to
get healthier?
Yeah, still to come could be the best Miami. But also, you know, Ole Miss. So I these four teams left. It's very exciting, and it's a
great motivation of winning it in spite of Kiffin. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into our TV timeout. We'll also talk about, of course, we had the Buc-ee's news about the delay. We'll talk about that during hour number two. Stick around, listen to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you, you know, the real you, and then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
ESPN.
All right, boys. NFL Super Wild Card Weekend is set, and we've got our schedule. We will start it off, and congratulations to the Houston Texans, who did publicly celebrate not playing the first game. The annual Houston Texans playoff game will be the Carolina Panthers this year. The Panthers will host the Rams, 3:30. That will be on Fox. You've got Joe Davis, Greg Olsen on the call for that one. And then the game that I missed in my predictions, our Amazon Prime game will be the Packers at the Bears, 7 o'clock on Prime Video, Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit. We then go to Sunday. Buffalo goes to Jacksonville, noon. That will be the Nance Romo game. The 3:30 game on Fox with Burkhart and Brady will be the Niners and Eagles. And then the Sunday night game with Tirico and Collinsworth will be the Chargers at the Patriots. And then the Monday night game will be the Houston Texans at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman on that. So I was able to get 4 out of the 6. I think what would be interesting to know, George, do you have any suspicion? Do you think Packers, Bears? I want to know who got the good old-fashioned SEC TV pecking order, who got to go first. Because I wonder if...
Well, which one would you pick first? Which one are you...
I would think I'd want...
I'd pick Bears-Packers.
Bears-Packers.
Yeah.
So Amazon? That's the Amazon game?
But I can see where Amazon actually might have gotten the pick.
Yeah. But...
I mean, they only got the one, correct?
Correct.
So I wonder if that bumps them up because the other ones are getting multiple picks and it's not a Thursday night game this week.
So the argument would be the Pats rate well, but I don't know if they rate that much better than the Bears, and then would,
especially with it being a divisional game.
You can bring in the quote-unquote L.A. market, but everyone that lives out there knows the Chargers. Like, the Chargers have to go silent count in their own stadium because they have no such thing as a home field advantage. Like,
right.
I would be curious about that. But we also, on Sunday night, or Saturday night, I beg your pardon, we had the Manning cast, and they had 2 guests on the Manning cast. The second guest was Marshawn Lynch. And if you're someone that has ever watched Prime's pre and post game, when Marshawn comes on, it just sounds like dumped audio the entire time.
I feel bad for their producer. Like, I know how that
it's
goes.
It's just dump button, dump button, dump button. Well, Marshawn
what he says is not suitable for air.
Marshawn just set the tone early during the broadcast, and he's like, all right, let's just get it out of the way. Drops a hard F-bomb, S, whatnot, and you can just feel the discomfort. Well, it got even better because Marshawn was trying to give Peyton and Eli their props, and really what he wanted to do is, and then don't y'all got like a nephew or something that's running around in Texas? And he's just like, I just got to give it up to, like, who's the sire? And then they started to talk about Archie and Olivia maybe making their 3 boys, and Eli was just like, all right, 3rd and 10, what do you got, Marshawn? Like, it was just, they were so right. Uncomfortable, and it was brilliant television. Also, we got a look at Marshawn's senior year where he cut his hair and started wearing glasses. That's how he got into Cal, 3.2, his second semester during his senior year of high school.
Oh, wow.
That picture is amazing, by the way.
That is a phenomenal picture. All right, so that also gets us to the other aspect that we were talking about, which is the Pop-Tarts Bowl, which I think we can safely say it's one of the clear hits of bowl season. Well, we got the numbers late last week, and this was from Graham Coffee over on the Everything app. Notre Dame told us that they were going to cost ESPN $50 million by not playing in the bowl game. In the end, the Pop-Tarts Bowl drew more viewers than all but one Notre Dame game this season. That was the Notre Dame-Miami game, which had 10.8 million viewers on Labor Day night. The Pop-Tarts Bowl was the most watched bowl game of all bowl games at 8.7 million viewers.
The most watched of all bowl games, not counting the playoffs.
Correct.
So, I mean, was this year one that they started declaring its official new nickname?
No, they leaned into it last year.
The Pop-Tart stuff. I'm talking about calling themselves the People's National Champions.
This is the first year I remember them really leaning into People's National Champions.
That's like on the shirts. You know, you wear a shirt, you win, you put on the
Pop-Tart
shirt.
It's a hat and t-shirt game,
It's the People's National Championship, which is even more like, talk about seizing the moment. Like, that's what it is. I mean, that's what it really is.
Well, what I think is interesting about it is it replicable? Because one of the other questions was,
now, I've seen it. They're already trying. Duke's Mayo had a dude with no shirt on, I think.
So Duke's is actually the John the Baptist.
Passing out Mayo.
They were doing the Mayo dump before Pop-Tarts really leaned into it.
But they had a guy like passing out Mayo in the stands.
Right,
people.
We saw the guy.
We had eggnog getting dumped.
Correct.
And on one of the bowls.
That
we
was
had
the holiday
grass.
Bowl.
Yeah, we had the grass.
That was the pinstripe bowl, the bad boy mowers, the grass.
Are you
the potato bowl tried to do like cut up fries once, like dumping that.
I thought they've done that before.
They've done that
before. Similar. Like, that's not super new.
There's a little element to the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Like, I don't think partially it's the branding, but like, it's also, I don't think you can necessarily replicate the branding part of it. I think it works that's going to be the issue. A lot of brands are going to want to duplicate that. I think what it shows is your bowl game needs to have a personality in some way for people to connect to it. And for whatever that is, to make it special and get some attention.
Well,
and
it's
that's
also
what they did it this way with Pop-Tarts. They've got the mascots running around looking like what's the guy's name in Philadelphia, the mascot?
Green Man?
The hockey mascot.
Gritty.
Yeah, Gritty. Like, you know, it's kind of the eyes on there kind of remind me of that, right? And of the mascot. Like, the mascots have to look a certain, like, goofiness to them.
Yeah, cartoonish.
Everything kind of came together to make the Pop-Tarts Bowl work. Now, I think doing something special. I like the bowl games that are played at Fenway or Yankee Stadium. Like, at places where you typically don't play games, I think that's a unique approach. You got to do something that sets yourself apart from all of the other, just a football game. Like, the Liberty Bowl is a football game being played in cold weather with some rain coming down. There wasn't, what?
Well, that was the unfortunate aspect of the Liberty Bowl this year, where if it literally would have been played the previous day, that was like a postcard day. It was like in the 60s, not a cloud in the sky. And then the next day, we have the rains come down, and it just looked miserable.
Right.
But we still had, you know, anytime Navy shows up in a bowl game, you know that they're going to play hard. But the game was just like an absolute slop. Like, to the point of, you don't normally see this in artificial turf games where the paint's just all over everybody. Like, the guys looked like they had jerseys where they were playing on a real field, but it's like, no, they have the natural grass. I don't know, like, that's kind of the other question, is like, how much of the Pop-Tarts Bowl, though, they've lucked out in that the teams that elect to go play the Pop-Tarts Bowl are usually kind of cool with being there. So you had BYU and Georgia Tech. That was a good game.
Yes.
Last year, you had Iowa State and Miami, and Cam Ward played in the first half. But again, it was another good game. The year before, you had NC State, Kansas State. You had Florida State and Oklahoma. Like, you've had teams that have been kind of bought into it and have made for a good game.
And good team. So if you're a football fan, you want to watch it. If you're a fan of the nonsense, if you're very casual, there's reasons for you to watch it. Yeah. And I think they're going to continue to attract those big teams now, right? They're going to get the pickings. It's the people's national champion. It's going to be the best game outside of the college football playoffs. It's going to have the best teams there.
It seems
which
to
is
me
bananas.
The number one thing that we have to, if we're going to quote unquote fix bowl season, I think we got to get rid of bowl tie-ins and just have it be everybody's in the same pool, and then you can kind of pick your teams from there.
No, I agree. But do you think, like, the Snoop Dogg Bowl, does that work for you? I mean, the thing is, the ratings, I saw this, like, over the weekend, all the ratings are pretty, bowl games did great on television. While we often talk about, like, they're meaningless, there's nothing, like, what's
bowl,
the point?
I think this is true.
They are definitely a television product.
There's bowl games have never done better on TV and worse in actuality.
Right.
Like, a lot of these are highly rated bowl games where you see there's nobody in the stands.
There's nobody in the stands, so they're great television products. They're work. I mean, because we're all around TVs, it's the holidays.
Yes,
and
we're conditioned to want to watch.
Gambling's legal now, and you've also got, like, it's programming that's on television that's not a Christmas movie that you've been watching, you know, constantly. There's not much content out there. So it does fill a void on the television. But, like, as you're saying, do they need to sell the tickets to make them work? I don't know.
I think if
the ratings are great across the board, with Pop-Tarts being in the best position.
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously helped that Pop-Tarts Bowl was on ABC. Like, it also helps that, you know, it was a game in Orlando. It's like, more teams are.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.